I talked a lot about John the Baptist last week, so I don't want to focus too much on that gospel. I'd really rather focus on the first reading and on the second reading, that gospel that we heard where John the Baptist is questioned by the scribes and the Pharisees, who exactly are you? And we talked about this a lot last week, about how he's the forerunner. He was the one who the Old Testament had prophesied would come and prepare the way for the Messiah, that he himself was not the Messiah, but he was the one who was going to prepare the way. And I talked last week about how all of us are called to be like John the Baptist and help prepare the way for the Lord, that it's ultimately the Lord that converts people, but that we, like John the Baptist, are called to go out and to help prepare the way, to smooth out the way for the Lord to be able to come and touch people. So that's the role of John the Baptist. Again, I want to leave the gospel at that. Just a little reminder from what I said last week about John the Baptist, so that I can focus on the first and second reading and tie in the theme of today. Right? So you know how our Advent wreath, the third candle is always pink. Some priests who are not very secure will call it rose, but really it's pink, isn't it? Because, I mean, roses you can get in any color. But it's rose, it's pink, because the third Sunday of Advent, about halfway through Advent, and then about halfway through Lent, the fourth Sunday in Lent, because Lent's a little longer, so the midway point's a little further down, the church gives us, in the midst of those two penitential seasons, this one day to kind of remind us, okay, you're halfway there. So whatever you may have given up for Advent, feel free to indulge tonight and tomorrow, right, to celebrate Gaudete Sunday. It's called Gaudete Sunday because, as you might have noticed, the entrance antiphon, we always recite them in English, but you may have noticed in Latin, the very first word is Gaudete. The various Sundays of the year take their name from the first word of the entrance antiphon. So it's really like the first word of the entire Mass, right, is Gaudete, which is Latin for, it's the second person plural, you all, rejoice, rejoice. And we hear that theme of rejoicing in the first reading and in the second reading. In that first reading, we hear from Isaiah 61, a very famous passage from the Old Testament that Jesus Christ himself cites when he was in the temple. And remember, he had cited this particular passage, and it said, it is fulfilled in your hearing. I am the one upon whom the Spirit of the Lord has come and who has anointed to bring glad tidings, right? So we see that this passage is fulfilled in Christ. But there's that second paragraph, I rejoice heartily in the Lord, in my God is the joy of my soul. And he goes on, all of these things he has done for us, clothed me with a robe of salvation, symbol of our baptism, right? Wrapped me in a mantle of justice, goes on and on about everything God has done, all these reasons why we should rejoice. And then in the second reading, St. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, very first words, brothers and sisters, rejoice always, always. And he goes on and he describes the type of joy that we should have. And the same could be said of Isaiah in the first reading. It's not a type of joy that comes because everything is going right in our life. Because that wouldn't make sense for St. Paul to say rejoice always, to have that kind of rejoicing. How could we have that always? Because there are times in our lives where things are not going right, where there's a lot of bad stuff going on in our lives, where there are a lot of reasons for us to want to not rejoice, for us to feel like we can't rejoice, right? But that's not the type of rejoicing that St. Paul or Isaiah is talking about. They're not talking about the kind of joy that comes from, you know, oh, I got a promotion, or oh, my boss gave me a good OPR, or whatever. That's not the kind, because some of that's in our control, some of that's not in our control, but that's not the kind of joy he's talking about. He's talking about the type of joy that comes in knowing that we have a God who loves us so much that he sent his Son to take on our nature, to become one of us, to teach us, to be with us, to then suffer and die for us, to leave us his own flesh and blood as our food and drink. Those things don't change. That's the reason why we should be rejoicing. And again, as we are in the middle of this otherwise penitential season, the church gives us this one day right in the middle to just remind us, perhaps, don't go too hard on the penances. Remember that the war is already won. The battles continue, but the war is already won. It's a beautiful symbol here that we have this penitential season to prepare ourselves for the second coming of Christ, for the first coming of Christ. But in the midst of this penitential season, to remember that don't get too down on yourself. Don't get too caught up in the penances. Don't get too caught up with depressing Montana winters, right? Don't get too caught up in what may be going well or what may be going poorly in your own lives. Because if things are going well right now, they're going to go bad eventually. And if they're going bad right now, they're going to go well eventually. But that changing is not what Paul and Isaiah are talking about. They're talking about the type of joy that does not change. The type of joy that is always there. That we have a God who loves us so much and is doing so much for us. So, that's the message of today's readings, brothers and sisters. Rejoice always.